Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 80 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
It was probably maybe 3:20 when we got the okay to go ahead and send them that they had apprehended the suspect.
Carter County Safe School Coordinator Pam Kuhn says two schools delayed dismissal today following apparent gun violence in downtown Grayson.
Boyd County's jailer has been indicted on charges of criminal malfeasance.
And a special election is being held today to replace late state representative Dan Johnson.
In sports, U of L has vacated its 2013 national championship.
Bud Luke brings us the stock report.
Partly cloudy tonight with lows in the mid-60s. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A fourth body has been found in connection with a shooting spree in Whitley County. According to WKYT, the body of Aaron Byers was found yesterday in a cemetery owned by 37-year-old Paul Brock. Brock was arrested Sunday in connection with the murders of 74-year-old Mary Jackson, her granddaughter, 33-year-old Tiffany Myers, and Myers' unborn child. Police say Myers and Byers were married. Coy Wilson is with the Corbin Police Department. He says Brock went back to the cemetery on Sunday to try and hide Byers' body, but he got muddy, and that helped lead them to the cemetery.
We went back to and found him, and he was covered in mud. And we believe that's from trying to dispose of Mr. Byers' body.
Brock is facing multiple charges of murder and tampering with physical evidence. He's housed in the Whitley County Detention Center.
A Morgan County man is behind bars on charges of child abuse. Law enforcement officials placed 39-year-old Arthur Hounshell of Izell under arrest yesterday. Hounshell was under investigation by the Morgan County Department of Protection and Permanency after, they say, a child in his care was found with injuries on her body. He's charged with first-degree criminal abuse for a child under the age of 12. Hounshell is housed in the Big Sandy Regional Jail.
Two schools in Carter County delayed dismissal this afternoon following an apparent shooting in Grayson. Various eyewitness sources report a significant law enforcement presence at the Taco Bell in downtown Grayson. Pam Coons is Carter County's safe school coordinator.
We have two schools that are located close to downtown Grayson, East Carter Middle School and Pritchard Elementary School. And at the time of the event, the Grayson Police Department contacted us and asked that we not release the children to get on the buses for dismissal until we heard back from them.
Kuhn says normal dismissal is at 3:10, and police detained the suspect and alerted the schools to carry on with dismissal by about 3:20 p.m.
Kentucky State Police are investigating after a student showed up at Robertson County High School Monday with an air-powered pellet gun. According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, the 15-year-old male had it in his backpack, along with a knife. Students alerted school staff members to the situation after they said boys showed them the items. Even though the youngster did not threaten to use the pellet pistol or the knife, he's been charged with unlawful possession of a weapon on school property.
Police have arrested a teenager after they say he threatened to shoot up North Laurel Middle School. According to WKYT, the 14-year-old sent a message to another student threatening violence against his classmates. The minor is now charged with second-degree terroristic threatening. He's housed in the Breathitt County Juvenile Detention Center, along with a 13-year-old being held on terroristic threatening charges as well. That teen was a student of Clay County Middle in eastern Kentucky.
As school violence becomes more problematic, many Kentucky officials are concerned as to what can be done to prevent these events from happening. One approach is to take action against threats as soon as they have been made. Intercepting violence in the earliest planning stage is what Executive Director of the Kentucky Center for School Safety, John Akers, believes to be the obligation of children's parents. He says that children's cell phones and social media accounts should be monitored for suspicious activity.
Parents have a right to look at those iPhones and see what their kids are doing, and they owe that responsibility to us so we can keep their kids safe from 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock.
Akers says that students convicted of threats should have to spend time in jail, and their parents should be fined.
Boyd County jailer Joe Burchett has been indicted on criminal malfeasance charges following an investigation by the Boyd County Commonwealth Attorney. WSAZ reports Burchett was indicted today for allegedly neglecting his duties as jailer at the Boyd County Detention Center. Prosecutors cite his recent failure to prevent multiple escapes, inmate overdoses, substandard living conditions, and a riot that forced a temporary closure of the jail. According to Assistant Commonwealth Attorney David Cathers, all Boyd County district judges recused themselves from the case when it was filed in December. That means a special judge will need to be brought in for the upcoming trial.
Flooding has caused the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet to close parts of some highways in the northeastern part of the state. Alan Blair is the spokesman for the Cabinet's District 9 office in Flemingsburg. He notes that Kentucky 2 at mile marker 13 in Greenup County is shut down, as is Kentucky 1043 in South Shore, Kentucky 1021 in Lewis County, and Main Street in Catlettsburg. He thinks those roads may reopen in the next couple of days, but with more rain in the forecast, that could change the situation, and even more closures could be necessary.
It's hard to tell. It just depends on how much rain and where and just how it affects our area. But, we'll have our crews watching pretty closely to mark that high water so, you know, people can stay out of it and not risk their lives.
Should you come across a road covered by water, Blair says don't try to drive through it. Find an alternative route. He notes that it takes only a few inches of water to carry off a vehicle.
We'll be right back with more local headlines after this quick break.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, presenting the 13th Annual Moorhead Antique Market, March 4th and 5th at the Moorhead Conference Center. On-site appraisals by Tom Clark and Richard Mook from KET's Antiques Collectibles TV show. The Moorhead Antique Market at the Moorhead Conference Center, Saturday, March 4th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday, March 5th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. More information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead.
Greenup County is getting a new radio tower in an effort to upgrade its frequencies, WMKY's Kenzie Thompson reports.
The current tower in the Old Town area is used for radio frequencies for law enforcement, fire, and road departments. According to the Daily Independent, Greenup County E911 Director Buford Hurley II says a new tower is being installed because the current one is simply not tall enough. The tower was donated and installed by Verizon. The county only spent $26,000, which went toward the installation of the tower and for the building. Without the donation, the cost of the tower would have been $100,000. This new tower will allow for stronger radio frequencies, which will make it easier for police, fire, and EMS to respond to calls. Hurley says the public will also benefit because it will help first responders get to their addresses with more efficiency and better communicate through the phone where service was previously spotty. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Rowan County could be on the verge of some good economic development news. That's according to Bob Hilton, the executive director of the Moorhead-Rowan County Economic Development Council. Hilton says he's talking to two companies about locating in the area, with one of them reportedly interested in the country's spec building. He notes it takes time to cultivate those kinds of opportunities because there's so much competition out there.
Anytime we put in a proposal, you know, not only are we competing against sometimes neighboring counties, but other state and sometimes not even in the country. So there's lots of competition out there. But, with the technical college open next door, is a really enticing asset to be able to show a prospect now.
With negotiations at a sensitive stage right now, Hilton says he can't divulge any further information or give a possible time when something might happen.
When it comes to further improvements to local recreation, Mayor Jim Tom Trent hopes Moorhead can continue to work with Rowan County. The two governments recently announced they'll partner on the building of a splash pad. It'll be located near the Green Hill City Park on property the city purchased for $1 million from the Perkins family. Trent is keeping his fingers crossed that maybe one day City Council and the Rowan Fiscal Court will find a way to get a new recreation park constructed.
I believe that, there's folks on there that see the importance of recreation, not only for the wellness and the health of our community, and also to give our kids and our youth somewhere safe to go and have a safe and a good activity, but also when we want to attract business in here. People want to have a place that when their employees, what are they going to do when they're off of work? What are their families going to do? What are options there?
The city and county have discussed the possible building of a new recreation park for over a decade. However, a plan to do that on 200 acres that once housed Morehead State University's Sunnybrook Golf Course died due to a lack of funding.
A Morehead shelter is asking for the community's help in filling its empty beds. Officials with the Mountain Haven Emergency Shelter say a safe place to stay is available to runaway and homeless youth who are 12 to 17 years old. Case manager Sarah Beth Lowe says in Round County, 662 children are considered homeless.
And that's an insane number. A lot of people would never think we'd have that many. But we do. It's just that maybe they're couch surfing, or maybe they're, you know, spending time in the woods in abandoned homes. So it's really just paying attention.
Lowe says Mountain Haven always accepts donations for care packages for homeless youth. For more information, call 784-3337.
Voters will choose a successor for late state lawmaker Dan Johnson today. KNN's Haley Hansen reports.
Representative Dan Johnson killed himself last year after a woman publicly accused him of sexually harassing her as a teenager back when he was a pastor. Johnson adamantly denied the allegations from the pulpit of his church a few days before his suicide. His widow, Rebecca Johnson, is the Republican nominee and says her campaign is in response to, quote, an assault from the left that wasn't true. The Democrat is Linda Belcher, a retired teacher who held the seat for 6 years. I'm Haley Hansen.
State Attorney General Andy Beshear's office is warning Kentuckians of tax-related scams. WYMT reports that more than 100 tax-related scams in 43 Kentucky counties were reported to Beshear's last year. The techniques that con artists use have become more sophisticated because of the technology. And individuals aren't the only targets of these thieves, as entire accounting firms have had their files hacked. Mike Cloyd is with the CPA firm of Cloyd & Associates in London, Kentucky.
They'll send us an email. It's a phishing email, and it requests us to, it says, here's your tax information, open it, and we don't want to click on that because that would give them, you know, they're trying to get access to our computer and our clients.
Accountants also warn that mail theft in the mailbox can give thieves access to your W-2 forms, which will give them much of the information they need to steal your refund. Taking a look at this week's weather forecast, tonight it'll be a warm night, partly cloudy with a low of 64. Tomorrow we can have some steady morning rain and a high of 70. Tomorrow night we can expect some rain to continue and an overnight low of 46 degrees. Thursday the showers will continue and some possible thunder with a high of 54. Thursday night, the low will be 52 and overcast with some showers. And Friday, there will be occasional showers, cloudy, and a high of 73. Current temperatures are 80 degrees in Morehead, 77 degrees in Flemingsburg, 78 degrees in Maysville, 78 degrees in Lexington, 78 degrees in Winchester, 81 degrees in Inez, and 82 degrees in Ashland.
The time is 4:44. You're listening to Mountain Edition here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Cody Robinson, and we're glad you're with us on this lovely Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, Rowan County is continuing its 30-year tradition of the annual Quilt Show. Our very own Cody Robinson has more.
Quilters and fabric makers from around the Commonwealth will be gathering at the Morehead Conference Center March 16th for the Rowan County Regional Quilt Show. Coordinator Suzanne Skaggs says the roots of the community tradition go back almost 40 years and has grown a lot compared to what it once was.
It originally started in Rowan County about 36 years ago, and it was small. The original person who got it all together was Janet Butcher, and when she first started the first quilt show in Rowan County, they hung quilts in the business windows downtown, and that's how it actually started.
Skaggs is expecting this year to be the largest one yet for the quilt show. Along with the growing exposure and publicity, some long-term planning has allowed for a special guest to attend the event.
This year we have a nationally known designer. She makes a line of fabric for Moda. She's coming from Graham, Texas, so that's something that we've been working on for some time, 2 years actually, to get her here.
It isn't uncommon for there to be out-of-pocket expenses to attend shows that feature recognized artists and quilters. But Skaggs explains that this will not be the case for Rowan's Regional Quilt Show.
In Round County, this is the first time we've had a nationally known quilt designer. And she has gotten several awards, too. For most people who have nationally known artists like that, there's usually a charge for that, $15 to $20 per person. Everything that we do is free, except for the classes that are offered during the week before.
Quilting itself has been a part of American history for hundreds of years, with people having the opportunity to express themselves with many different designs and fabrics and colors. Kentucky quilting has always been rich with culture. And this year's show will give quilters even more reason to share their history.
We have a different theme every year for a quilt show, and this year it's every quilt has a story. And it's true, every quilt has a story. Some quilts are inherited from relatives, maybe from pieces of fabric that were part of their children's clothing or a fabric that they purchased at a specific place. We had one that was in the 1800s. I mean, we've had fabric that came from Australia, you know, Japan.
The show offers more to participants than simply showing off your quilt. According to Skaggs, different types of quilts will be placed in different categories where viewers can vote on their favorite designs and styles.
Whoever's quilt is voted on, there's 8 different categories. Hand quilting, machine quilting, beginner's quilting, baby quilts, long-arm computer quilting, wearables, antique quilts, wall hangings. So, you know, we have lots of different categories. Door prizes are all day long. Awards are just, there's viewer's choice.
More and more attendees come to the quilt show as each year passes. But as for how many are expected to attend this year?
That's the big question. We estimated between 400 and 500 people last year. This is our first experience with a nationally known quilt designer and artist, and I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping the conference center will hold them. I'm not sure.
If you plan on being a participant in the show, pre-registration is available by mailing the quilt to Karen Sloan at 1386 McBrayer Road, Clearfield, Kentucky, 40313, or by emailing rcquiltshow@yahoo.com. This is Cody Robinson with WMKY News.
And the time is 4:47. You're still listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. Braxton Howard has a view of sports for you in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more is available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Moorhead State University and Moorhead State Public Radio.
The banner comes down. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The University of Louisville has lost its appeal to the NCAA. As a result, the men's basketball program must vacate all wins from 2011 to 2015, which includes a 2012 Final Four appearance and the program's 2013 National Championship. These penalties stem from coaches providing prostitutes to players and recruits during the four-year time frame. U of L interim president Greg Postal obviously disagrees with the decision.
I cannot say this strongly enough. We believe the NCAA is simply wrong to have made this decision. We felt that the young men who achieved these victories and the thousands of fans who supported them deserved our best effort. The university appeal, however, was challenging from the beginning. The facts of this case are simply terrible, causing many to find the detail of the appeal not compelling.
One small piece of relatively positive news for Louisville is the school will only have to pay back $600,000 in revenue earned as opposed to the $15 million ESPN's Dan Dockett reported a couple of weeks ago. Postal admits that amount is no big deal.
I'm watching the university's finances, so I don't like to write checks. That being said, that's not the real loss here today. I mean, our loss is for our fans, for the players who are suffering as a result of the vacation of titles. We'll find the money. Money's replaceable. The other things aren't.
In all, Louisville will vacate 123 wins and is the first program in college basketball history to vacate a national championship. These penalties are not related to the FBI pay-for-play scandal that ultimately caused Louisville to fire head coach Rick Pitino and athletic director Tom Jurich. The NCAA is still investigating that scandal. The Kentucky basketball team is strapping on its track shoes as it gets ready to visit Arkansas tonight at 9 o'clock. Assistant coach Joe Justice says the Wildcats will have their hands full to try to slow down the high-octane Razorbacks at Bud Watton Arena.
They're a team that really tries to get after you and put pressure on you both on offense and on defense. So we have to first be ready for transition. I think that's always something that's important down there. And then you've got to be alert. And that's something that, you know, especially some of our guards are not always alert off the ball. And we've got to be ready to play for the entire shot clock.
Led by high-scoring guards Jalen Barford and Daryl Macon, the 19-8 Hogs are scoring an average of over 83 points a game. Coming off of last weekend's win over Alabama, Kentucky will be looking to add to its 18-9 record and 7-7 SEC mark. Round County's basketball teams will both play at Fleming County tonight in first-round play of their 61st district tournament in Flemingsburg. The 18-9 Lady Vikings will take the floor against Fleming at 6:30. They blasted the Lady Panthers by 47 points just 11 days ago, but Round assistant coach Matt Stokes says the staff has told the players to forget that.
We really talked about, you know, getting focused again, even though, you know, we were undefeated in districts, that, you know, the first game is the most important. They have to come out ready to play because anything can happen when it's tournament time.
As for the 14-14 Round boys, they face top-seeded Fleming at 8 o'clock. The Vikings lost both of their regular season matchups with the Panthers. In other boys' district action this evening, West Carter battles Morgan County and West Liberty in a 62nd district opener. Despite the Comets' 9-18 overall record, West coach Jimmy Webb is confident in his team.
I think our kids have really grown and improved throughout the course of the season. I know the wins don't really necessarily show that, but I'm happy with the progress that they made. And, you know, we also get a very tough team in Morgan County on their home floor. They're a very good basketball team with, you know, they can put so many kids on the floor, they can score the basketball. So it makes for a difficult matchup, but hopefully our kids will be up for the challenge.
In the 63rd District, host Russell faces Lewis County. Coach Brian Groves' Red Devils beat Lewis twice in the regular season, but he says they shouldn't take the Lions for granted this evening.
Coach Hampton's a great coach, and I know he's going to throw something at us that we're not expecting, and we're going to have to respond. We're going to face some adversity. And like we talk about every day in the locker room, you know, how are we going to respond to adversity? You know, there's two things you can do. You can lay down and quit, or you can man up and fight through it. And so, and that's what's going to come down to tonight.
And in the 64th District at Boyd County, Ashland Blazer does battle with Fairview. A civil lawsuit filed in the Pike Circuit Court by the former assistant principal and boys basketball coach of Pike Central High School has revealed details of alleged recruiting being orchestrated by a local business owner, according to the Appalachian News Express. Keith May claims he was fired at the school because he would not agree to provide benefits promised to potential transfer players by the local business owner, including providing one transfer student's family with a new car. May claims several other KHSAA violations occurred at the school, including the athletic director placing tape over the cameras in the gym to allow the transfer student athletes to practice in the gym during the mandated dead period without evidence. The case is set for motion hour in front of Pike Circuit Judge Eddie Coleman at 1:30 on Friday. The Morehead State baseball team is playing at Western Carolina today. Coach Mike McGuire expects the Catamounts to give the Eagles a battle.
You know, Bobby Miranda's their head coach, does a really good job. That's a program that's, you know, tradition-rich and, you know, traditionally very good offensively. They compete for a lot of SoCon titles. I expect they're going to be a good matchup for us.
At last check, the Eagles currently trail in the game 2-1 in the seventh inning. The Eagles started the day at 2-2 after last weekend's four games against Ball State and UMass Lowell at a tournament in South Carolina. One note from college football, Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh announced he has hired former Florida head coach Jim McElwain as the program's new wide receivers coach. And finally in sports, a medal count update from the Olympics. The United States continues to fall down the leaderboard, coming in at sixth now behind Norway, Germany, Canada, the Netherlands, and France. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball will close out their regular season by hosting a doubleheader with UT Martin on Thursday and Eastern Kentucky on Saturday. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell sharply, pressured by a steep decline in Walmart shares as well as a rise in interest rates, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 254.63. at 24,964.75. The S&P 500 was down 15.96 at 2716.26, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 5.16 at 7234.31. The NASDAQ was helped out by relative strength in the larger tech companies today. Both the Dow and S&P 500 broke below their key 50-day moving averages, and of course these are considered very key technical levels. Also today, pressuring the markets was a rise in the VIX index, which is the volatility index, or I should say the measure of volatility, as it rose 6.4%, with the VIX index actually finishing at 20.71. Also pressuring the market today were higher interest rates, as the benchmark 10-year U.S. note yield rose to 2.886%, just under 2.89%. This after hitting its highest level since 2014 last week. The short-term 2-year note yield also traded around a 9-year high today. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.3% to finish at $61.77 a barrel. Gold was down 1.75% at $1,332.10 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were up as the Stock 600 index finished with a gain of 0.6%. In Asia, most markets were down, with Nikkei down 1% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong finishing with a loss of 0.75%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Intel and Microsoft. The worst performers were Walmart and Verizon. Walmart stock was down about 10% today on weaker than expected earnings. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Noble Energy and Mosaic, and the worst performers in the S&P 500 were, again, Walmart and Genuine Parts. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $1.28 at $70.96, CSX down $1.51 at $54.59, AEP down 90 cents at $66.36, AK Steel down 15 cents at $5.81, Marathon Petroleum down $1.21 at $66.26, and Kroger was down $1.20 to finish at $27.49. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 35th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 25th through 29th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
Taking a look at community events coming up in the region, Morehead State University's Student Activities, Inclusion, and Leadership Development is sponsoring a public showing of the film King, A Man of Peace in a Time of War. That's this Thursday, February 22nd, showing every 60 minutes from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Athena Room on the second floor of Camden Carroll Library. Admission is free, and the public is invited.
For Paws for Ability and Morehead State University's Service Dog Program will visit Coffee Tree Books located on Main Street in Morehead from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, February 24th. Early readers can practice their skills and the service dogs can practice listening. The event is free and open to the community.
And the 19th annual Big Sandy Women's Business Symposium will be held from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tuesday, the 27th. The conference will be held at the Ramada Hotel and Conference Center in Paintsville. Cost is $30, which includes meals, workshops, and events throughout the day.
Taking another look at this week's weather forecast, tonight it'll be warm and partly cloudy with a low of 64. Tomorrow we can expect some steady morning rain and a high of 70 degrees. Tomorrow night, the rain will continue with an overnight low of 46. Thursday, the showers will keep on with possible thunder and a high of 54 degrees. Thursday night, it'll be a low of 52, overcast with some showers. Friday, there'll be some occasional showers and cloudy and a high of 73 degrees. Friday night, you can expect some evening thunderstorms and a low of 55 and some overnight rain.
That'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Leanne Akers, Sean Delaney, Logan Pemberton, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Kenzie Thompson, and Braxton Howard. Haley Hansen with the Kentucky News Network pitched in, along with Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. And our feature segment today came from Cody Robinson. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arno Barnett, WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.